Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Listeners, you are tuned into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Right, let's just kick off by commending our day, this interesting day that the Lord has made, this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let's just thank God for the privilege that is called today, the opportunity to have new encounters, new revelations, and deeper understanding our walk with the Lord in grasping the things He wants us to have a deeper understanding of. And so Father, we just thank You for the things that only You can do. Thank You for who You are in our lives. Thank You for this beautiful day that You have made. We rejoice in it and we're glad. Thank You for all our listeners. Thank You for their families. Thank You for testimonies. Thank You for food, raiment, shelter, protection. Thank You for their going out and coming in. Thank You for the task that they've been able to achieve, complete, and are behind them. Thank You for seeing them through the challenges, the warfare. Thank You that they are here to testify of Your goodness once again in the land of the living. We know that tomorrow is not promised to anybody, and so we just thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your compassion that faileth not. Thank You for sparing our lives to see yet another new day, to usher in another new week. you know, ahead. Father, just thank you for how you have seen each and every one of our listeners through the year 2025, through so many months, January, February, March, April, you know, it's incredible, May, you know, and that's just incredible how far we've covered in the year. Want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for seeing each and every of them through. We ask, Lord, that the work that we have committed to your hands to help us, to guide us, to instruct us in the way that we should go, that, Lord, you who started that work with us will continue in the name of Jesus. As always, want to remember those who, for one reason or the other, may not be able to partake with us today and, you know, be in fellowship with us. I pray, Lord, that you will meet them at the point of their need. Whatever it is they desire, the expectations will not be cut off in Jesus' name. As many that need your touch, Lord, let them experience a touch from you. Those that need restoration, let them be restored. Those that desire your healing power and virtue to touch and come through their situation, grant this desire in the name of Jesus. Make them whole. Do the things that make you God in their lives, and may the shout of rejoicing never cease in their tabernacles, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just commit our session today unto you. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. Ask always an abundance of the presence of the ministry of the Spirit to help us to navigate, to understand, to come to, you know, an understanding, deeper understanding of the things that you have been communicating to us, revealing in diverse ways through dreams and visions and trances. We ask, Lord, that which you have started, take us deeper in that journey. We commit the rest of, you know, today's teaching unto you. Let it come with grace for every hearer, but bring them to a place of understanding, and at the end of it, let your name alone be glorified. This we ask of you and thank you in Jesus' name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay, we just got a lot to cover, and I just ask that the Holy Spirit will help. Yes, so we've been looking at milestones. We've come a couple of weeks on milestones, looking at different aspects. Just a couple of, I think, well, last week or so, we switched from Luke chapter 24, where we had been looking at a couple of events that happened after the resurrection of Jesus, particularly the journey of the few of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and a lot of things were revealed there. And we just thought it's a good milestone in the life of the disciples for us to look in, considering what we have learned about milestones. So it's a landmark, you know, along a journey to a destination. So it measures how far you've come or how far there is to go to your destination. And we talked about the different ways people respond to the, you know, milestones, particularly the deeper dimension of looking, you know, in at progress, looking at the measure. You know, we defined what the true measure should be from a Christian and, you know, spiritual perspective. You know, we talked about the fact that there are many things that we have to accomplish before we get to the milestone. So task, activities, goals we have set, and it comes a place to, you know, take stock, to reflect, to review, to evaluate. And I gave the classical example of the SWOT analysis. What are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and the threats that you can identify at this part of the journey, at the milestone? It's very, very critical to do a really in-depth reflection and evaluation so that you look at what's working, what's not, and then how to make corrections, adjustments, and move on the rest of the journey. It's not enough to just, you know, get here, okay, I've arrived here, I've achieved that, not learn anything, not look at what's working, not pick up, you know, where your weaknesses are and make adjustments. So that's why it's so important. And then we moved last week into, you know, Mark chapter 4, and I was talking about illustration of the, it talks about the parable of the sower, and a very, very good piece of scripture helping us understand the progress the disciples have made. And we see here that the conclusion of the matter was that there's a seed that needed to be dispersed, and the seed represents the word of God, and the ground, which represents our heart. So it's coming a comparative analysis, the process the seed goes to get the appropriate ground, the good ground for it to grow, go through its own process, another phase of its development to bring forth a massive harvest. So with this picture, that illustration of the dispersion of the seed and its falling on different ground is very helpful in understanding this essential process based on what might be the reaction, appropriate response to the presence of the seed based on the type of ground. I'll take that slowly. So there is the seed coming to, you know, a particular kind of ground, and we're investigating and looking at how the seed responds, or how the ground responds to the presence of the seed. All right, and of course there are different types of grounds which are representing the different states of the heart. Okay, so it's a very good illustration. It therefore implies that there is an essential ideal ground which prompts, okay, or triggers a reaction. So certain grounds do not really trigger any reaction. So when the seed falls on the stony ground, there's nothing happening there, okay? Whereas when it falls on the seed, on the ground which may be thorny and have some depth of soil, it will trigger this, the phase where the roots begin to germinate. But because it's not having depth, the rest of the other atmosphere is not conducive, it doesn't follow through on that process. So there's the different reactions by the different types of ground representing the state of our hearts, okay? And so it's so important. Okay, so there's an appropriate response or reaction, there's a triggering of the next phase for the seed based on what, you know, type of ground it's coming in, and that appropriate response therefore advances if the process is triggered and proceeds to another stage of the expression of the purpose of the seed. Okay, so there is a purpose, there is an intent in the word of God, which is the seed, and it takes certain, you know, conditions to trigger, okay, that next phase of its advancing, of its growing, of its maturing. Now this definitely is a journey of discovery and grasping the full expression of the original intent of the word that has been sent. So he sent for this word, okay, will not return to him void, but it must accomplish that for which it was, you know, released or sent. So there is an intent, there is a purpose, and like the seed, that intent and that purpose, you know, is embedded within the seed. Now except certain, you know, response is triggered, then we don't see, you know, the unveiling of what is embedded within the seed. Okay, in the same manner, the hearer, okay, you know, of God's word is divinely enabled along the journey through the diverse means to be able to develop eyes that see and ears that hear, and have, you know, through the process of transformation of the heart, come to a place of understanding. Okay, so there's the development through the means of grace of our capacity to see spiritually and our ears to hear, and through the process of the transformation of the heart, there's a change of state, okay, to come to a place of understanding. The heart intent of the Father's communication through the proceeding word. So he had a purpose for that word, he had an intent for, you know, sending that word towards you and revealing to you at the time that you encountered that revealed word. But there's a process, just like the seed, to be able to come to the full capacity to hear, the full capacity to see, and to have a heart that understands what all that intention and the full purpose of that word is. Man shall not live by bread alone, we know that, okay, but by every proceeding word from the mouth of God. So as food is to the physical man, okay, or the physical body, so is the word of God to the spirit man. All right, so man cannot live by bread alone, but by every proceeding word. It's very important, you know, every proceeding word, you know. So this proceeding word is not a one stop. It must be reiterated here that his faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so this proceeding of the word of God is not a hello one time statement. you know, it's a conversation. So there's what is being communicated over and over, you know, time and time, with different illustrations, different examples, as we see in the story of the parable of the sower. Okay, so it's important at this point to mention, because we're reflecting on the milestones, what it was that has happened in terms of process for the disciples to get to their destination, okay, on their way to their destination. That's documented in Luke chapter 24. So like we said last week, there is a very important, you know, aspect of the teacher that must be, you know, communicated at this point. The teacher of the word, the one who is, you know, using the word as a tool to teach and instruct his disciples, teach and instruct his well-being listeners, okay, has a great task. And the quality of what will be made manifest at the end of their journey is based on the skills available to the teacher. It's not enough to try and communicate mental assent. We did mention it's not just about mental assent. That might be a process in the journey of the word getting to your heart, but it can't stop at mental assent. So there's a processing, okay, there's meditating on the word, there's studying to show yourself approved, there's a need for due diligence, you know, and this process must be clearly understood if one is going to get the full expression of the original intent and the, you know, purpose for which that word was sent. Okay, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's an ongoing conversation. And so one is journeying literally, okay, into the discovery and grasping of what the full expression of that original intent of the word that has been sent is from the beginning. So it's not a one-time encounter with the word. And so that's very important. And oftentimes people will get a revelation and next thing, boom, they're bolting off because they got inside, they've heard a word. But have you journeyed deeply into the deep understanding of the full intent and the purpose for which that word was sent? And like any classic teacher, you know, it's not enough to just communicate, like I said, mental assent, you know, information. There's a need to, as it were, have a way of discerning where exactly your listeners are at. And that was something that was demonstrated in the parable of the sower, when he spoke to the multitude in parables, and then he spent a deeper time, and he says to you, it is beginning to understand the mysteries, so go deeper into the understanding of the deep mysteries of the kingdom. Okay, so what that means is that faith that is required to transact business with God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. This is not a one-time engaging with the word, hence the use of the term proceeding word. And that's almost can be compared to having a rhema word. So the logos, the letter kelet, but the spirit, the ongoing proceeding word, is what gives life. So we need to come into that level of engaging with the word, okay, from the proceeding word, to get to the depth of what is intended, the depth of the purpose, and being able to apply ourselves so that we can gain full expression, a full understanding, and take full delivery of what is to be made manifest as a result of your encounter with the word. All right, so it speaks of a consistent engaging with the word that is proceeding from the mouth of God to the hearer. After all, the word sent was dispersed. Okay, so after all, the word sent was dispersed and did arrive with its purpose intact. We don't go to the seed once it has arrived and start to have a, you know, prayer meeting or, you know, spiritual warfare in telling the seed what it has to become. The seed has embedded within it its purpose. All right, so you don't tell the apple seed, listen, you're going to become a mango seed now or a mango tree. No, it will manifest that purpose and intent within it. So it's not something external, it's within that finds expression, and it become clear, you know, at the end of the day. Alright, so gaining a deep, rich understanding of the word is a worthy desire. Many have it. It's worthy and admirable, as that is one of the first to recognize this divine order. Okay, so that needs to be first recognized. Okay, there's an understanding that there's a need to desire, okay, the Word of God. That's good, that's admirable, but we need to go further to trust the process, and we need to recognize that the one who's orchestrated, you know, all the events and steps along the way, okay, as we journey in the knowledge of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. So there is a process. There's the one who orchestrates our learning. There's the one who is in charge of our learning. There's the one that discerns where we're at. There's the one that discerns whether we'll go to the next level of revelation based on how much we've grasped, okay, at the first communication of the intent of that word to us. And then we go deeper. And so one of the things you recognize at this point with the disciples, they had spent some time with Jesus. They were not just a multitude. After the multitude had their own ministration, they stayed back. They got deeper understanding. They studied under the Master's feet, and He revealed deep things. There's so many scriptures to buttress that fact. And so, like I said, one of the important things where we really can look back on reflection and taking stock is that they had a good teacher. They really had a good teacher. He was not just intent on communicating physical information or displaying his wealth of information and insight, but he wanted to make sure that they were thoroughly able to grasp, come to a place of understanding, and that learning was taking place. One of the great attributes of a good teacher is that they don't only command knowledge of their subject or whatever it is they're communicating, but they're able to ensure that learning is taking place. So obviously there'll be tests along the ways. There'll be tests to see if you're applying, you fully understand what it is, and if you're taking delivery of the expected outcome as prophetically declared by the word that you have received. All right, and so that was something, you know, time and time, you know, the Lord taught them things. He sent them out in twos, and sent them out in groups, larger groups, and sometimes they came back with report that, oh, this is what happened, as He had already told them while He was teaching them. So they were able to test, they were able to apply, and they were able to take delivery of proofs. All right, so as we look at this milestone for the disciples, they really underwent a lot of teaching, a lot of analysis, a lot of testing, okay, the trial of their faith. Some other times they didn't do well, you know, they came back and they were not able to achieve certain things, and He had to teach them a deeper dimension or reveal to them certain aspects or a different approach to solving the situation that they were confronted with. So we see this in the life of the disciples. Again, to get great success, you need to have a great teacher, and without a shadow of doubt, that was one of the attributes of Jesus. He was a great teacher. The Word of God needs to go through this process to reach the ideal good ground, which is our heart. Okay, it must release grace to enable the hearer or the recipient of the Word. Okay, so very important, it must release grace to the hearer, and the purpose of this grace is to enable, you know, the one that is hearing. So when we talk about grace, we talk about divine enablement. So it must be said here that part of that process is that you are encountering God's grace, and you are being enabled, energized, empowered to do stuff with the Word of God, through the application of the Word of God, that you would not have been able on your own to achieve. So it's important to understand that we're not talking about mental ascent, like I mentioned before, or head knowledge, but rather it's taking you into experiential knowledge. So you will have encounters, you will have you know, visitations, you'll have practical experiences. There are times where you're not necessarily in a school environment, where you're confronted with life situations, and the Spirit is reminding you, and the Spirit is ministering to you, is bringing back to your remembrance, this is what you need to do here, this is the scripture we're talking about, this is how you deal with the situation. It says you will hear a voice behind you telling you, this is the way you should go, turn to the left, turn to the right. So we are still under the tutelage of the Spirit. Now it's important also mention here, you know, looking back at the disciples, at the point we're looking in Luke chapter 24, they had not yet received, okay, the Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Spirit, okay. That was one of the things when we look at the story in Luke chapter 24. As he continued to teach them, he asked them to go and wait till they be endued with power from on high. When we look at, you know, time will not permit, but looking into John chapter 16, you'll see some very important attributes of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which he did introduce to them in the teaching session. You know, it's important that I go away and as the Father will send the promise. Okay, there are many things he wanted to explain to them, but they were not able to understand. But him, the teacher, was aware. Okay, so he recognized this process was going to go on even after he had left them, and he had intimated them about this. We can study this extensively in John chapter 16 from 17, you know, and then verse 12. There's some very important things that were stated there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me see if I can quickly jump in there. To that, just to buttress what I'm saying here. Okay, so John chapter 16, and we're looking at the teacher, all right, not just teaching alone, but being able to prepare them and usher them into the next phase. All right, so let's look at verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Okay, well, verse 5. Now it says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? Right, verse 6 says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, and if I depart, I will send him to you. All right, so we see that there. It's worth reading all the way to verse 12. It says, verse 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all things. Okay, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. All right, so this just shows a few. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So when you take your time to read the whole of John chapter 16, it just buttresses the fact I was saying earlier, they had a great teacher, okay, and he explained the part of the curriculum that he was handling and the necessity of him having to go away so that the one who the Father had promised could come and carry on. So a great teacher understands the full curriculum. A great teacher understands where the audience is or his students are at. He also is able to discern and ensure that learning is taking place. All right, these are very structured processes, part of the process, structured processes along the journey. And so in reflection of the milestone of the disciples, it's good to go back and understand, you know. So when you see the fruit or the harvest of a tree, there is a whole process from the seed finding a good ground before it comes up with the shoots, the stem, the leaves, the branches, begins to blossom and eventually bears and ladens good fruits. All right, so the end result, the outcome, is just the proof of a process that may be hidden, of a process that needs to be understood. And so if we're going to take the Word of God as a seed and make sure it gets to our heart so that we have eyes to see, as we're enabled by the grace of God, or the means of grace, ears to hear, and being transformed in our hearts to be able to have a heart that understands, these are the processes we must be familiar with. Okay, so it's very important. And then we talked about the fact about maturing, you know, and the fact that anyone who is going through this process will experience some level of growth. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4 tells us a bit about the measure. It says, until we reach the unity of the faith okay, and the knowledge of the Son of God. So we are coming, you know, to the perfect man and to the measure of the age or filling up, you know, in our hearts, you know, being filling up ourselves, being filled up, being mature, being, you know, as it were, coming to some stature in Christ. So there's a measure, and if you break that down, you know, there's the reaching of the unity in faith, there's the knowledge of the Son of God, there's moving on to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature, you know, the fullness of Christ. So there is a process. All right, so just like the seed, the spiritual man is going through a process. The Bible talks about that I might know him. So there's a process in coming to know him. Remember John chapter 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth and the life. So he is the way. He guides us in the way. He instructs us. He himself is the truth. So as we come to know him, we come into a deeper understanding of the truth. But John chapter 8, 31, 32 talks about, if you continue therein, okay, in the word, you will come to know the truth. So again, we see process. We need to continue in our engaging, in our understanding, in our applying of the word that we have encountered, of the word that has been dispersed to us like a seed, of the word that has been revealed through insight into our hearts, and make sure we're developing our faculties to engage properly and to come to a place of understanding. It must be emphasized here, you know, it's not mental ascent. I need to keep stating that. That may be the beginning of the process. So you need to give time to meditating. You need to give time to studying the word. You need to give time to experiential knowledge. Okay, so you literally come into situations and circumstances where you experience that which was being taught to you, and you come to have an experiential knowledge. That is knowledge by virtue of experiencing the process, experiencing what was said, experiencing the reality. Okay, so either you're experiencing it to knowing what to do, or you're experiencing to the fact that, okay, I was not able to fully understand because I was not able to, you know, take delivery of the end result or bring a manifestation. Whatever that might be, you'll be learning through that experience, okay, of your working with him, being spirit led and engaging, or having encounters with him at a heart to heart level. So that's part of the maturity. For this to occur, time must be spent, like I said, in waiting on him, communing with him, and meditating deeply on the preceding word, journeying into the deeper depths of any revealed word that has been given, to truly grasp the original intent of the Father's heart. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back and see how much we can progress into, you know, really looking and examining the development of the disciples at the milestone on the road to Emmaus. See you after the break. From here. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're tuning into Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Lovely track there by Deborah Winers. Very, very interesting wordings. Yes, there is a calling to an assignment and there is a mission, okay, and there is an expected end. I love the wordings there. It was really describing what an appropriate response is. You know, make sure that you're being, you know, vigilant, alert while you can see. Make sure you're listening while you can hear, you know. And even when you haven't got to that stage of seeing or hearing, make sure you can praise him while you still have breath, you know. And again, having a good understanding of what we've been discussing here, he'll draw you closer, he'll make you come to a greater awareness, a better, deeper consciousness of what he's doing with you, of his presence with you, of his guiding and leading you by spirit, you know. And so as we see in John chapter, you know, 14 there, it's good to understand, you know, this process and how to respond, you know. Even the Bible says pray when convenient, pray when not, pray when you've got a prompting, pray when there's no, praise him while you can, you know. There's what you can be doing at each stage of the process as you become more sensitive, more aware, more conscious. It says, the Bible talks about, till the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So that's an expected outcome, that each one will not just grow and mature in the understanding and the divine enablement to see and to hear, but come to a place of being able to give expression, to allow the glory of God to fill, you know, the earth, the environment where you're ministering, as the waters cover the sea and what covers the earth. Now, so you may have heard, and I'm sure you talked about this before, but just to reiterate, you've heard a prophetic word that you're an overcomer, a trailblazer, you're a pioneer, you're a groundbreaker, significant careers of, you know, solutions, okay. You're fully loaded with divine capabilities, just like the seed. You hear all of these things, you can't see it, you don't understand it, you're asking yourself questions, how can it be? But we need to really cause that to move us. We have insight, okay, through engaging with the word deeply. We've got divine wisdom to know and unlock hidden mysteries as sons of God. It is the Father's will to reveal these deep kingdom mysteries to us as sons, but we must also recognize the part we have to play. Be still and know, be patient, be studious, study to show yourself approved, you know. Make time for this meditation and engaging with him, you know. Know that you have carrying power and authority which may not be visible, which you not have a full understanding. You may not even know how to utilize some of the things you have been blessed with, but with time, okay, to decree and to declare the counsel of God over your atmosphere, over situations and circumstances, in the priceless, matchless name of Jesus. These and many other things are things you will discover in your journey. You know, Psalm 139 verse 14 says about you being fearfully and wonderfully crafted in the image and likeness, you know. So you are the crown of his creation. You discover this as you go on. Also Psalm 144 verses 1 and 2, Psalm 144 verses 1 and 2, you are the master's creation, you are the master's masterpiece, you are a pearl of great price. You know, as you study, as you journey, as you come into greater understanding, it should prompt certain pondering or questions to ask, which shows that you're learning, you're stretching. You know, why is he so jealous over me? Why is the master so jealous about your worship, your praise, your response to him? You know, what are you carrying? What has been embedded within you? What are you capable of doing? Why has he invested so much in your life? These are questions which, as you seek answers to, you know, in your journey, these questions will deliver to you, you know, very greater insight into understanding not just his assignment for you or his will for you, but what the end goal is and why you are being developed, equipped, you know, empowered and graced with the gifts that you have. Obviously, you know, the Lord is taking you on a journey and you need to understand how he deals with you on that journey. You know, he jealously guides his precious investment in your life. Even the angels marvel, who is man that you are mindful of. So God is mindful over you. He says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts I have towards you. So he has a plan, he has an assignment, and he's, you know, he explains that these thoughts will do, okay, as you journey with him in your walk with him. So he says they will deliver to you a great future and a great hope. Now that's not the assignment itself, it's just telling you what has been put in you, what it will deliver to you, so you can hope on a great future. You can hope, you know, that there will be an enablement. You can hope that you will receive authority, power and backing from the kingdom, right? He will deliver to you great future. Like he said to Abraham, I'll make you great, okay? So he tells you what you can anticipate and expect at the end, the expected end, okay? So we see when he called, you know, some of the patriarchs in the scripture, Abraham and Moses, he called them, he gave them an assignment. But they had to journey in the understanding of what was that assignment through continuous engagement with the Lord in communication, in following instructions, and so it is with us. So when we look closely under the hood in each of our lives, then we can begin to see what we are built of. So when you begin to look at the giftings you have, you begin to look at some of the traits that you have, some of the things that come easy for you, then you begin to understand, okay, this is a special grace that has been given to me. Maybe I'm called to minister in this particular area or in this particular way. But that, these are the things that will be unfolding as you journey into this discovery, okay? So you begin to understand what you're capable of, okay? What it will be like when you, like comparing to a car, what it will be like when we release Brother John at full potential? What happens when he's firing on all his cylinders? What happens when he's under the anointing? Okay, what is he capable of doing? What kind of tool will he be in the hands of God? Okay, at your full potential, giving you unlimited expression. Now, you must understand that with God, there's nothing's impossible. There'll be no limits, but you are being ushered into this level of the potential that's within yourself. So of course you'll be on a journey to discover, what are you carrying? What do you have? What are you capable of doing? What does the anointing do? What unction do you have? You know, and so this is so important, you know, and you'll get to a place where when you begin to look in the scriptures and you see things like eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it flashed in the imagination of any man, what God wants to do with you. You are still in God's program. God is not finished with you. So these, you know, prophetic words also refer to you, you know. And when we begin to look at Ephesians chapter 3, for example, we'll try and look at it in more detail some other time. Verse 20 says, you know, the God with whom nothing is impossible, you know, is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond anything anybody can ask, imagine. Then we see the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3, when the apostle is trying to explain to us the grace of God upon him, the things that were revealed to him, which hitherto were not, you know, made known, but in this dispensation, in his part of the journey, those things had been revealed to him. How did he know that? He kept on engaging, you know, with the scriptures. He kept on engaging with that time, you know. And we have scriptures like Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree? All right, so God is trying to work with you. You must be able to understand his communication. You must be able to understand what he's teaching you, how he's leading you, and how he's guiding you, and how you will eventually get to that expected end. So these, you know, trimmings, this discovery, these gentle nudgings, this what I call modules in the spirit, are part of the process you will go through for you to become that vessel that the Lord can use. Remember, You are his battle axis, and there's a lot that he can use, tools that are, you know, in the hand of a mighty God. And that's why we're constantly, you know, admonished, be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength, not by your own strength, not by your own might. It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth. The race is not for the swift, neither is the battle for the strong, but the might of the Lord is finding expression in and through you to your world to carry out your assignment. And so it's so important, our dependence on the Lord at each stage, knowing that it is him that has graced us, it is him that has empowered us, it is him that has anointed us. And so these were the kind of things that the disciples were going through, and we're just having this reflection at the milestone, okay, to understand how they came to where they were. You know, the Lord of hosts, he has never lost a battle. So when he's deciding to use you as a weapon, he can make you a tool in his axe that no one, no power, no authority that wants to withstand you can face you. He can do that. It's not a big thing at all for him. But it's we learning how we yield ourselves to his process, okay, and how we are sensitive to what he's doing with us. If we don't get informed, we are likely to be deformed, and that's something you don't want to be in. So as he's forming you, you know, he is the monarch of the universe, he's the ancient of days. It's about the master's masterpiece. You are his choice weapons, you know, for dealing with, you know, situations and circumstances. And to the unrepentant, he becomes a stumbling block, he becomes, you know, one of judgment. All right, so the ray of hope to those that group in darkness, he becomes a light. It says they that grouped in darkness, they that lived in bondage, they have seen in light. You know, there's liberation, there's a liberty we have as sons of God. Bible said we should be steadfast, unmovable in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. I pray that, you know, what we've shared today, you know, the Bible talks about the path of the righteous as a shining light shines brighter and brighter till the day dawns. So you've come into a great process, a process that several Bible studies will not be fully be able to explain. However, the one who is there to teach you, the one who took over from the teachings of Jesus and took the disciples to the rest of the, you know, outcome, you know, so we could, like, remember, find and read and understand what's documented in the Acts. They followed through that teaching, they followed through the models, and even after Christ had gone, they were able to pick up, you're not just taking delivery of the anointing, the personality of the Holy Spirit, but moved in the authority and power, you know. And so it is for us. But on reflecting on their journey, on reflecting on what processes they went through, we too can have that expected end. He says greater works than this we will do also. And I pray that the Lord will help each and every one of our listeners be patient, to wait, you know, be still and know, okay, to tarry and wait on the vision. Bible says wait on the vision, though it tarry will not tarry, it has a time and it will speak. And I pray that whatever it is heaven is trying to communicate with you in your journey, that your light will shine brightly, you will yield yourself to the process, you will trust the master, you will trust the process, and you'll be able to take delivery of the outcome. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Yes, the word of God is also light. He says he's the light of the world. You know, time will not permit us to really go into that as well, because the word takes on many forms, and that's another interesting aspect of what can happen with the word that you have taken in, you've meditated upon, and you're following through and applying yourself. It can take on diverse forms. It's an axe, it's a rod of correction, it can be a hammer. The word can manifest into different tools in the hand of God. And I pray that we will just be able to be patient, to be able to wait, to be able to yield ourselves so that whatever the Lord wants to do in us, just like we see documented in the lives of the disciples, we too will get to certain milestones in our maturity, certain milestones in our development, you know. And I pray that the Lord will not just empower us and make us find expression of his original intent and purposes, but will be so knowledgeable, so equipped, that we'll be able to communicate the same and be great teachers to others to come and leave a good legacy, you know. And I pray that the power that's within the word, the purpose for it being given to you, will not fall to the ground, but that you will be able to empower other generations, leave a good legacy, be a witness for Christ in your world, to your world, and to other generations to come. Lovely people, it's been another interesting session. I hope you've really, really been blessed. You know, I know there's quite a bit in terms of things we tried to cover in this session, but trust me, it's a journey worth going on. If you've not started and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I recommend that you enroll in the School of the Spirit. You enroll under the greatest teacher there is in the world. He knows where you're at. He has an assignment and a calling for your life, that you might be a vessel that will give expression to the glory, power, and authority of the Lord on this side of eternity. May you be a blessing to those that are connected and rooted to you in your family, in your community, and to your world at large. And until we meet again, you know, our next session, I pray that the word that has come forth will be releasing grace to you as you hear. May it release more grace to you as you meditate. May it empower you. May it bring insight. May it bring deeper revelation and understanding of the very purpose for which God sent that word into your life. Okay? What can I say? Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a great time with your family. Until we meet again, God bless you. And stay rapturable, stay strong. Make sure your light continues to shine brighter and brighter until the day dawns. Bye for now.
I'm no longer, I'm no longer.